शुक्लां भरदरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So the last Nama, the name of Lord Vishnu that we have seen in the thousand names, is 454th Nama, which is Jnanam Uttamam. Uttamam means supreme, Jnanam means knowledge. So this is considered as the supreme most knowledge. In fact, in the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this is called as royal knowledge, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya. This is called as royal knowledge because, like I explained to you last week, there are knowledges which are called as conditioned knowledge, or conditioned consciousness or conditioned knowledge, which is within the realm of the world. Like when you are in the dream, somebody is in 10th standard, somebody is in 12th standard, somebody is in degree, somebody is in post-graduation. So each one has more knowledge than the other, but less than the other as well. So this is limited, relative. And how much ever you know in the dream, you are still caught in the dream world. But when the dreamer gains the knowledge of the waker, the entire dream world dissolves because the dreamer has now become the waker. So this knowledge is capable of dissolving your entire samsara. So when you gain this knowledge given in the Upanishads or Vedanta, and you understand the nature of the divinity and in essence the individual's nature and the nature of the divinity is one and the same, then the entire samsara collapses. So the best medicine to destroy samsara is the realization of the truth. Therefore this is called as Jnanam Uttamam, the supreme knowledge of all other knowledges. Because without the pure consciousness, no knowledge is possible. Because only when the pure consciousness strikes the intellect then gains the knowledge. Therefore, the basis of any knowledge is also pure consciousness. And also, when you gain the knowledge of the self, you catapult to a different stage. It varies in time, not just in degree. Because all knowledge in this world varies only in degree. Whether you know less or more, you are still lost in the samsara. Caught up, going through joy and sorrow, affectations. But the moment you gain the knowledge of the self, you become absolutely free. It confers freedom on you. Instantly you become free, the moment you gain this knowledge. It is not that once you gain this knowledge, after 10 days you will become free. Straight away. It's not theoretical knowledge. He is talking about the Atma Jnanam, which is realization. So, Jnanam Uttamam. So, that is why we say, in fact, in the Tattva Bodha, sorry, in the Atma Bodha, Adishankara says, the way to liberation, direct means, is knowledge. All other means are indirect means. See, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and all other disciplines that you practice, Maunam, all that, you know, Yoga, all that you practice, they are all helpful. They all prepare you. They all keep you red hot. And when the iron of knowledge strikes you, when you are red hot, then the shape can be changed. Then you can be changed from being conditioned to unconditioned. So therefore, everything works as preparation only knowledge of the self works as a direct means. The only way to wake up from this samsara is to gain the knowledge of the self. Otherwise, you will only be changing few things here and there, trying your best, temporarily feeling satisfied, but absolutely never getting rid of this samsara. Therefore, it is jnanam uttamam. Next sloka. Suvrata sumata sukshmaha sugosha sukada suhrat manoharochita krodho virabahur vidharanaha suvrata sumata sukshmaha sugosha sukada suhrat manoharochita krodho virabahur vidharanaha. Suvrataha, one who is ever performing the pure vow. Suvrata. Vrata means tapas. Taking a vow and practicing that vow as sincerely as one can without compromising. You know, it's easy to take a vow, but to maintain it is not easy. Like we all do on the New Year's resolution. Hardly 10 days it will be there. So it says, one who has taken the magnanimous vow to seek to save all his refugees. Means all those who have taken refuge under him. Meaning, sattvic people, those who follow dharma, those who sacrifice the lower self in the higher self. When the little ego is dissolved in the higher goal, such people are protected by Paramatma. So hence he is said to have taken this vow called Suvrata. Now you can also take Vrata. Some people want to remember certain things they want to avenge. You know, they really want to take revenge on people. So they say, I do not want to forget. So I want to go through these things on these days. So I always remember. This is destructive. That is, this is constructive. So the one who is ever performing the pure vow, whoever has taken shelter, he gives protection to all of them. So that is why you need to surrender to the ultimate. Like in the Bhagavad Gita 66th Shloka 18th chapter, he says, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Hamtva sarva papyebhyaha moksha ishyami maasucha. So to come to that absolute surrender, the little self has to understand its limitation and identify with the higher self. Then you will be protected. So that is the vow. Next, nama, sumukaha. One who has an enchanting face. See, sumukaha, the mukham. Mukham is only the expression of your mind. And when he says sumukaha, means what? The expression from the inside is beautiful. So, the inside is established in the truth. And that truth is the beauty. So, that's what he's saying here. When he says sumukaha, he's referring to the truth. Whatever may be the situation outside, the absolute is always cheerful. For example, if you take Sri Krishna, in all the paintings of Sri Krishna, you will find him cheerful, laughing, smiling. Never will you find Sri Krishna's painting morose, sad, unless you paint one. By chance you paint one, maybe your sadness you will project it on Sri Krishna's face. So, from where does the cheer come? Why do we lose cheer in life? Anybody?
By possession, possessiveness.
Not possession. Possessiveness.
Possessiveness, I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I meant possessive.
attachment, possessiveness.
Attachment.
The basis of all that is ego.
Maya.
Maya. Maya is, you're talking high philosophy now. You come down to, let us come down to our level. Ego. You know, each one assuming an individuality, and then because of that we have complexes, because of that we have doership, all this possessiveness, mine, yours, I'm superior, I'm inferior, all these stakes are clear, I have so much to lose. You have nothing to lose. Because you are paripurna, and you are not born, nor are you gaining, nor are you losing, nor are you going to die, gain, loss, birth, death, nothing is there for you. But since you do not know about yourself, and you have imagined yourself to be something else, which is having birth, death, gain, loss, you lose your cheer. Once you understand this truth, life becomes a sport. It's a game. And when you play the game, sometimes you lose, sometimes you win, doesn't matter. You are in the game, ultimately everybody fights to win the game. But you may lose. But the joy comes from playing the game. So that is why, you know, sumukaha, nothing to lose, no attachment whatsoever. The entire world, he is the Lord. And when the whole world comes out or dissolves, his mukham is always sumukaha. In our case, when things are coming in, joy. When things are going, sorrow. Why? We attach the eye to the things. That's the problem. Sumukaha. Sukshmaha. Sukshmaha. Subtler than the subtlest. Subtle, when you say, means more pervasive or all pervading. Space is subtler than earth, water, fire, air. Why? Space pervades more than air, water, fire, earth. In fact, air, water, fire, earth exists in space. But space, does it exist when you are asleep? When you are in deep sleep? In deep sleep, there is no concept of space as far as you are concerned. When you are in deep sleep, there is no concept of time. There is no concept of space. There is no concept of causation. Time, space, causation put together is world. So when a person is in deep sleep, there is no concept of space. In deep sleep, there is no space. But in deep sleep, is the vasana there?
It is there.
It is there. Good. Now, when you understand this, then you say vasanas are subtler than space. Okay. Now, when you realize the self, does the vasana exist?
Well, I guess no. It's just a guess.
Why are you guessing? Straight answer is no. God plus vasanas equals human being. Madhusri.
Right.
Madhusri is none other than God plus a particular set of vasanas.
Please remember, all of you.
Yeah, same thing, you also remember. God plus vasanas, a particular set of vasanas is the others. Mamta, sadhana, you understand? Everybody is God plus vasana. Lakshmi Narayan, God plus vasana. Everybody is God plus vasana. God plus vasanas equals human beings. So when human beings removes the vasanas, he or she attains Godhead. So,
therefore, very I mean, a very silly question which goes way back, but what exactly are the vasanas?
Okay. Vasanas comes from the root vas. Vas means fragrance. Okay. Now, strictly speaking, from vasana comes thoughts. So, from vasana comes thoughts means intellect itself comes from vasanas only. So, therefore, intellect which is a product of the vasanas cannot define vasanas. So, relative definition that we can achieve for vasanas is unmanifest desires. Vasanas are the manifest, when vasanas manifest, they manifest as desires, thoughts and desires. So the unmanifest thought, unmanifest desire is vasana. Also vasana means inner temperament or inner inclination. Okay. Shweta has the inner inclination to do all this pottery work, you know. And somebody has the interest to paint. Somebody has the interest to market those paintings. In our own class, we have people. Huh? Somebody is good in painting. Somebody is doing the business of marketing those paintings, collecting and marketing.
Yes.
Right? Each one is different.
Yes.
So, why? That is the vasana. So, each one has an inner inclination, inner temperament that is called as vasana.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So the vasanas are there in deep sleep. That's why when Shweta goes to sleep, when she wakes up, she again wakes up as the same person. Otherwise, next day morning she'll wake up as a mathematician. Or she'll wake up as a dancer or a cricketer or a tennis player. Something, it doesn't happen like that. Why? From the manifestation, she goes into unmanifestation. So those desires are all there in unmanifest form. Again when she wakes up, they again come to manifestation. So in deep sleep, vasanas are there. But the mind is not there. Therefore the concept of space is not. So vasanas are subtler than space. Now, in deep sleep, Atma is there or not?
Yes.
Good. Atma is there, vasanas are there in deep sleep. Now when a person realizes the self, does the vasana exist? You answered just now. You said, I guess.
No.
Now you say, remove that I guess and say, no.
And no.
Okay. Yeah, no. Now,
I have a question, Guruji, on vasanas. Yeah. One can improve upon the vasanas, right? One can diminish your vasanas.
One can reduce the vasanas, one can increase the vasanas, one can change the vasanas from the quality of being tamasic to rajasic to sattvic.
Okay, so if you work on them, then you can improve.
Yes, if you work on them, you can improve. And this whole class is, all the classes are only about that. To move from tamas to rajas to sattva and beyond. Eradicate all the vasanas. So,
wow.
When a person realizes the self, there is no vasanas. All the vasanas are exhausted. But does the Atma exist or not?
Yes, it does.
Yes. So therefore, Atma exists beyond the waking state, dream state and deep sleep state. Vasana does not exist beyond the deep sleep state. Mind exists only in the waking and dream state. Therefore, space also exists there only. Therefore, space is subtle from the worldly point of view, but vasanas are unmanifest, which is subtler than space, and Atma is the subtlest, sukshmaha. That's what he's saying. Sukshmaha, subtlest. One who is subtler than the subtlest. All pervasive means there is no place where there is no Atma. There is no place where there is no Vishnu. Twai mai chanya traiko Vishnu. Says Bhajagovinda. He studied that text. Twai means in you. Mai means in me. Twai, Mai, Traiko, everywhere. There is only Vishnu. Then why am I not seeing Vishnu? Because my mind is caught up in name, fame, power, position, family, status, money. These are the toys with which we are playing. Name, fame, power, position, family, status, money. That's it. From morning till night, we are trying to get this. So, everywhere there is Vishnu, but you don't see. Why? Because you are attached to the grass, the names and forms. The moment your attachment to the names and forms reduce or removed, then suddenly you see Vishnu. Abhi, cataract hai. Cataract surgery karna padta. When you do the cataract surgery and remove that, then vision becomes clear. This is the problem. And we have been collecting all these vasanas for janmas together. And we are collecting even now. As we are studying Vishnu Sahasranama, though we are studying about dissolving vasanas, we will collect vasanas. We are experts in that. So therefore what happens? We don't see this sukshma. Very subtle. See, the room that I am sitting now, the fan is running and it is making some sound. But when I am talking to you, I am not hearing that sound. The moment I stop talking, I can listen to that sound. So, the subtle becomes clear only when our mind becomes empty with the gross. That's why they say in the Bhagavad Gita also, third chapter, Sri Krishna said, you know, do not unsettle the minds of the ignorant. That's why ingeniously our great sages and kings, what they did is, the fellow's mind is running after money. Okay, no problem. Don't tell him all these concepts, maya, agya. Don't tell him all that and confuse him. Let it run. Just say, money is Goddess Lakshmi. So his mind is going to money. You make it divinize. You divinize it. Goddess Lakshmi. Power, Goddess Durga. Knowledge, Goddess Saraswati. Like that, everything and anything is divinized. So then, slowly, slowly, his mind gets identified with the divinity and drops the vasana. So when though he is interested in money, he surrenders to a lord, does the puja, and then earns his money, and then from that money he lives his life and does charity, etc. And then slowly throughout, you know, the fact that there is identification with the divinity, slowly the attachment to the money drops. This is the idea. This is exactly the idea. That's why we say, do not try to drop anything. Put in your effort to take up something higher. When you take up something higher, the lower has to fall. I have no choice. So therefore, sukshmaha, sugoshaha, auspicious sound, om. Om is the designation of Brahman. So the auspicious sound. So sugosha is also the name of the conch of Sri Krishna. So the name of Sri Krishna's conch, which he blew in the Mahabharata war, is called sugosha. Gosha means sound, sugosha means auspicious sound, om. It refers to om means Veda. So the sound of Vishnu is the essence of Vedas. So these sounds, these mantras, the Vedic mantras, are all the sounds that has come from divinity. Vedic mantras have come only when any sage has dissolved the ego completely. So, the sounds have come from the divinity. Hence, it's called as Sugoshaha. Next is Sukadaha. Sukadaha means one who confers happiness. The moment you have determined to be spiritual, I'm not talking about being religious. This term religious has different meaning of this. Though the meaning of religion is religare, to unite back to the origin. But now the word religion is a bad word. You tell children religion, they will run 2 kilometers away from you. Sukadaha, it conferred happiness. The moment you come to spirituality, it confers joy, it confers happiness. Why? Because, like we discussed, you become more and more unselfish and selfless. You cannot be spiritual and be selfish. It is possible you can be selfish and be religious. But spiritual, not possible. Impossible. Your spiritual means you are identifying with the spirit. And the spirit is everywhere. So you will be identifying with a larger self. You cannot be selfish. Not possible. So Sukadaha. Also in Sanskrit, it is the meaning of the one who destroys the joy. He destroys the joy of the undivine, not the divine fellows. You understand? Those who are given to adharma, he destroys the joy of them. He is not destroying. They are destroying their joy by themselves. It is, see, remember this statement in Vedanta, very important statement. You are punished or rewarded by your actions and not for your actions. There is nobody sitting up the clouds punishing you or rewarding you. You do a certain action, the action boomerangs. If it's a good one, it will come back as good result. If it's negative, it comes back as negative. What you sow, you reap. So you are punished or rewarded by your actions, not for your actions. Rama was killed by Ravana, but the truth is Ravana killed himself. Ravana was given a chance to surrender, to get back to the path of Dharma, but he chose the other way. He did not choose to be dharmic. Therefore, he had to face such an end. So, Sukadaha, he confers Sukha to his devotees and then he gives sorrow or destroys joy of his enemies. So, those who are enemies of the Atma means they are lovers of body, mind, intellect. And when you love your body, mind, intellect so much, what is the nature of the body, mind, intellect? Anybody?
Self-centered. Selfish.
Body, mind, intellect.
What is the character?
Nature. Perishable.
Temporary.
Temporary. Changing. Passing. Fleeting. Perishing. Sometimes you see this grey hairs changing. And then when somebody speaks, you keep saying, huh? Huh? Perishing. Human audible range, they say, is 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. Maybe some of us have lost even that little bit. For us, it may not be 20 kilohertz, maybe just 16 kilohertz, I don't know. So, constantly perishing. If you identify with those things that are constantly perishing, how can you be happy? And whose fault is it? Huh? Who asked you to identify with which is constantly perishing? You should identify with that which is imperishable. That which is imperishable will never give you dukkha. That which is satyam can never give you dukkha. The problem is you identify with the objects of the senses and the mind, and then you suffer. Because by nature they are perishable. By nature they are subject to change. When something by nature is subject to change, why are you attaching yourself to that? That's all it is. Then Suhrut, the friend of all living creatures, is considered a Suhrut, a friend. Who is a friend? Not the one who pleases you, the one who does what is good for you. And he is considered as Sukrat because he only does what is good for you. When the gada is striking you, even when the chakra is striking you, it is for your good. He only, it's like a shepherd, you know. The sheep, when they go astray, he brings them back, brings them back, brings them back. That's why Jesus Christ was called as Good Shepherd. Same thing, Sri Krishna, cowherd boy. Human beings are the herds, you know. They're worse than sheep. Herd mentality. So the mind which, because of herd mentality, goes astray, will be brought back and given a direction. So Sukrat Manoharaha, one who loots the mind. Manmohana is say no. Manmohana, one who loots the mind. The divinity loots your mind. Your mind dissolves in the divinity. And what remains is only divinity. So he is called as Manohara. See, one has not sufficiently dwelt upon the form of the Lord. And one sufficiently dwells upon the form of the Lord and the glories of the Lord, the mind thereafter will not be interested in the senses. The fact that we are not exposed to the higher, we look forward for the lower stuff. That's what it means. Manohara. If you have heard and enjoyed quality music, quality food, anything quality, even literature, once you have experienced quality, then the world will not attract you anymore. Your mind, which is now with the world, will be completely drawn towards the divinity. Hence, it is called as Manohara. Jita Krodha. Victory over Krodha. Krodha means what? Anger. Anger is only given as symbolic. What it means is Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Madha, Matsarya. All these things you would conquer. Jita. Dusron ko jai se pehle kuch ko jai. So, once a person has realized the self and has become Vishnu, the quality of Vishnu is what? Jita Krodha. No anger whatsoever. So, when the Lord releases the chakra, it is also out of compassion, not out of anger. Like a mother is very strict with the son out of compassion. The son is adamant. No, 5-year-old boy. Adamant, he is asking for something which he is not supposed to eat. It's not good for his health. He is adamant. The mother very sternly says no. But behind the no, there is no anger. What is there? There is only compassion. Karuna. So whenever he says anger and all that, means kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, all these six things he conquered. Then veera bahuhu. One having mighty valiant arms. How would you define a strong arm? Which is a strong arm? Anybody?
Strong arm is something that, looking at the body level, it's muscles, good muscles, strong, physical strength.
I'm talking from the philosophical angle.
I think it's a mental strength.
Direct, being directed by the mind to do what the mind is, to do what you want it to do, the arm.
Something which is unshakable, like which is like strong in its, it's unshakable or unchanging.
A strong arm, I think, is the one who knows right from wrong, or the one who knows truth from false.
The giving hand?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Who said that?
I.
Shobhaji.
Yeah.
So, the arms that serve, the arms that give, not the arms that take. That is the strongest arm. Just physically, biceps, triceps, separate exercises are there for everything. Valiant arms. He, with that arm, he protects the good and destroys the adharmic. Serving the society at large. Mahatma Gandhiji's arm, the strongest arm. You are not going to any gym or anything like that. You understand? The arms that serve. See, when you come to spirituality, the more the spirituality goes into you, your head should be clear with what is permanent and what is impermanent. And your heart should expand in love. Your hands should extend in service. Hours, 365 days. When I was a small boy, somebody taught me this. I don't know where it is sung, but somebody taught me this. We are the Bharat boys, happy, gay, and full of joys. God's light to guide away. Truth, duty, service is the way. Truth, duty, service. Truth, duty, service. A person who serves, his or her arms are the strongest arms. Arms that take is the weakest. So, when he says Veera Bahu, of course, when physically they show with all those muscles and this and that, but the real thing is the arms that work to protect the well-being of people, well-being of species. See, when you turn spiritual, there is a lot of difference. This is something you need to understand. I've mentioned this many times. It is not that you are putting in effort to be good, but you will be good. You cannot but be good. You have no choice. Not that you are trying to be good, wanting to be good. There is no wanting to be good or trying to be good. You will be good. The negative things and all will breed in you only as long as you lack the awareness of the truth. Negative will breed only when it is in the dark room. The moment you expose the negative to light, it cannot be, developed. Similarly, the negativity is in us. Develop in the darkness, in the ignorance. The moment you start studying Vishnu Sahasranama, the qualities of the Lord, the qualities of the divinity, and you become aware of the larger picture, then in that heart which has been exposed to the larger picture, there will only be goodness. And that is called Veera Bahu. That's why Mahavir was called as Mahavir. Means Vardhaman. Vardhamanji was called as Mahavir because of that. Vidharanaha. One who splits as under, destroys. Referring to Lord Narasimha's form. The egoistic fellow was torn apart. Hiranyakashipu, highly egoistic. I alone exist. As if nobody else is existing. Everybody must serve me. I am the most important fellow. So, refers to Lord Narasimha, to destroy Hiranyakashipu. Vidharanaha. Next nama. Swapana swavasho vyapi naikatma naika karmakrat vatsaro vatsalo vatsi ratnagarbho dhaneshwaraha swapana swavasho vyapi naikatma naika karmakrat vatsaro vatsalo vatsi ratnagarbho dhaneshwaraha swapana, one who puts people to sleep, stupefying. With the power of Maya, he has deluded all of us in this world. We are all sleeping happily. You know, everyone is in their own loka. You remember when we studied the Nama Ishvara, I gave the example which Swami Chinmayanandaji gives, a small story. Anecdote. A small boy was walking with his father on the road and he saw in the opposite direction a pickpocket was caught and brought by two policemen having chained him. So the boy asked, "What is this? Dad, why they're carrying him? What happened?" Father says, "He's a pickpocket thief. So they have chained him. They are taking him to the police station. Police are controlling him. And after some time, when they are continuing walking, suddenly the president's car is coming. And before and behind the president's car, 10-20 police cars are coming. So the son looks at the father and says, look at their bigger thief is coming. The smaller thief, 2 police. Bigger thief, 10 police cars before and 10 police cars behind. Then the father says, no. He is not bigger thief. He is the president of this country. He controls the police. In the case of the thief, he was controlled by police. In the case of the president, he controls the police. So, Lord controls Maya and we are all controlled by Maya. So, if you want to get out of Maya, what do you have to do?
Control it rather than be controlled by it.
Oh.
By not giving into our desires.
How will you try to get out of Maya?
By being conscious about it.
Dropping attachments by going higher.
By understanding that it's not permanent.
Controlling our desires, controlling our thoughts.
I think Amiji said higher. Then she slowly higher like that he said and quit.
No.
Higher means that if you identify
dropping.
When you identify with Vishnu, who is superior to Maya, Maya can be controlled.
So connecting to your Atma, right?
See. When the son does something wrong, he knows the father is going to be very strict with him. He will go and stand next to his mother. Because he knows mother controls the father. Mother will say, no, chhod dijiye. It's okay. What do you expect is after all your son only, you know. So then he'll keep quiet. Because he knows father is superior to me, but mother is superior to father. So, you want to conquer Maya, what do you have to do? You have to hold on to Vishnu Pad. You understand? Guru Charan. Guru.
So hold on to Vishnu Bhav means what?
Vishnu Pad. Pad means feet.
Feet. Okay.
That is why we say, hold on to the scriptures. Hold on to the form of the law. Any form. Now we are talking Vishnu Sahasranama. In this Vishnu Sahasranama, one of the namas, I think 600th nama is Shiva. There is no difference between Shiva and Vishnu. We are only creating problems and fighting. You hold on to any form which is inspiring for you. Hanumanji's form is inspiring, hold on to that. Ganeshji's form is inspiring, hold on. Doesn't matter. Any form. Identify with higher. Then you see how your life changes. See, if you identify with all the, dross stuff, you will only be more and more dross. So therefore, you need to understand this correctly. Maya controls us. Who controls Maya? Ishvara. So therefore what I have to do? I have to identify with Ishvara. So identifying with Ishvara, I do action. What? Arpana Bhav, Prasada Bhav. When I do action with Arpana Bhav and Prasada Bhav, it's Karma Yoga. When I imagine the Ishvara in a particular form and do puja, archana and all that is bhakti. or upasana. Okay. Then I am studying, reading, reflecting over the nature of the Lord, etc. That is jnana. So holding on to Mahavishnu means doing all this because you have body, mind, intellect. With the body, karma yoga. With the mind, bhakti yoga. With the intellect, jnana. So when you constantly do this, then what will happen? Slowly you will be able to control maya, overcome maya. So maya, through the maya, maya is inherent in Lord. The shakti of the Lord is maya. So through the maya, he has kept all of us in sleep, it seems. Therefore he is called as swapanaha. One who puts people to sleep, stupefying. Lord Vishnu as Ishvara has for himself the total vasanas called maya as an equipment for his expression, self-expression as Ishvara. He through his maya veils each individual and renders them ignorant of their own divine nature. Because of his veiling power that he has, with that he is controlling all of us. All of us are in one sleep, as if you are drugged. Now you see the drugged fellow, somewhere in the clouds. We are also like that, somewhere in the clouds. Some people say, Abhi Rahu Ketu sab chal rahe. After 5 years everything will become alright it seems. That's what the Jyotish told me. So after 5 years everything will be fine. They are in that world. Another fellow is saying, Abhi Corona is going down. Things will be fine. Then my share prices will go up. Then my worth will go this much. How does it matter whether it goes or not? I am not going to sell the share. It's going to be the same amount of share you will hold. You are not going to leave the attachment. So this up and down, this nothing is going to be monetized for you. I am not saying you should monetize, but it's the same. How does it all mind? So, Swapanaha, one who keeps us with the power of Maya in sleep mode. That's what it means. Swavashaha. Swavashaha, one who has everything under his personal control and he is absolutely independent. Swavashaha. Asha means my control. Everything is under his control, including Maya. It's called Swavasha. In our case, nothing is in our control. Neither is the family, nor the business, nor my own body, mind, intellect. Mind is saying something, body is doing something, intellect is thinking something. Nothing is in our control. So Swavasha. Swa means one's own. Vasha means control. Vyapi. Vyapi means pervading, all pervading. Sarva Vyapi, you say, no? Means everywhere. All pervading. There is no place where there is no Vishnu. That's the same thing here. See, when he says Vyapi, does the clay pervade the pot or not? The entire pot is pervaded by clay, isn't it? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's all. So this entire universe is pervaded by Brahman in the same way. Vyapi. In fact, clay is the cause, pot is the effect. So this effect world has come from the cause, Brahman. So Vyapi means Brahman is the cause, the material cause that pervades this entire world. Naikatma, many souled, Lord, infinite, though ever the one expresses himself as the many. When Lord has become this universe, one has become many, no? All these different names and forms are all none other than Vishnu. From our mind angle, we see all the differences. But the moment you gain this Vedantic knowledge, with all the differences, you see the unity in diversity. This unity in diversity is not political. Vishnu is not, or Bhagavad Gita or Vedanta is not teaching us unity in diversity from the political angle, unity in diversity. This is true unity in diversity. Naikatma, many souls, all the different souls with all the different, ideologies. They are all essentially Atma. Naika karma krit. The one who does many actions. The evolution, preservation, involution, everything is done by Brahman. Yet, without making his presence known. So the more and more you realize the self, you will also be dynamic without making your presence known. If electricity is not there, no action is possible. Similarly, if Atma is not there, no action is possible. No gadget will work if electricity is not there. Similarly, in the world, no being can work if Atma is not. So, Naika Karma Krit. Vatsaraha. The abode of the Lord. So the Lord lives in every being, in every form. The Lord lives in every form. Vatsaraha, one in whom everything dwells. The entire world dwells in the Lord, the Lord dwells in every being. Vatsaraha. Vatsalaha, one who has love for his devotee. Vatsala. See, like mother having love for children, the Lord has love for the devotees. Okay, this fellow is devoted and in his enthusiasm he may do something wrong, but still he will be kind in trying to correct us and getting us back to the self because of the effort we are putting. It's not an easy effort. It is much more difficult than climbing the Himalayas. You understand? Because destroying the conditioning is not easy. So what they are doing is, though the truth is actually without a form and no concept can actually elaborate the truth, they still have certain concepts and a form, etc. The idea is, Atma Bodha gives this example also. There is dirt in the water kept in a pot. So what they used to do in the olden days is, they used to put the powder called katakanet powder in the pot, which has dirt in the water. The katakanet powder, when it is sprinkled on the surface of the water in the pot, after some time, it forms a layer. Once it forms the layer, when they come together and form a layer, it becomes heavy. When it becomes heavy, it slowly starts settling down. When it slowly starts settling down, what does it do? It collects the dirt which were there in the water and settles down. Then the water on the top becomes clean. Similarly, the God which is unmanifest, which is Arupa, they bring in certain form and have shlokas like this called Vishnu Sahasranama, etc. And in this kind of method, which is man-made, using this, they destroy the other man-made conditionings. Then what remains is only pure self. So, when you put in effort to destroy the conditionings, it's not easy. So the Lord is very much understanding that. And he has tremendous love for his devotees. So he is called as Vatsala. Vatsi. One who protects those who are dear to him. Now this should not be understood as, oh, that means he will be very, very dangerous for the people who does not love him. He is not dangerous. When you have not turned your self towards the Atma, you are harming yourself because you have turned towards the material world. You got to open your doors and windows, then the fresh air can come into your house. You shut them, nothing will come. So what's he? Ratna Garbha. Garbha, you know, wombs. Ratna means what? Gems. Ratna Garbha. All the ratnas are in him. What it means? Ratna Garbha. The gems are found in the ocean. Right? And Lord is happily sleeping in the milky ocean. Lord has taken the form of the ocean. Hence he is called as Ratna Garbha. Also, another thing that we need to understand is, in each one of us, there are gems. But we need to churn this ocean. How many of us are ready to churn this ocean? When you churn your mind, lots of gems come out. First, when you churn the mind, what will come? When they churned the milky ocean, what did it come? What came first? Hala hala poison. The negativity has come out. You'll be surprised. Oh my God. Because you become aware of your gossiping tendency, of your jealousy, of your greed, lust, anger, fear. You'll become aware of all this first. Then when you are objective to those negativities, you go further churning, tremendous power you find. All kinds of gems. Everything is within you actually. But you do not tap the source. So that's what he says, Ratna Garbha. Daneshwaraha, one who is the Lord of all wealth. Really speaking, the dana that you have, the owner of that dana is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the owner of the dana you have. Our Lord, Mahavishnu means the Supreme. It all belongs to the Lord. How many of us understand it that way? I have been given this to be a trustee of it. It's not mine. Daneshwara. Dhanam. It's not, wealth is not just a material wealth. Knowledge. It's one of the best form of wealth you can have. Why? Can anybody say why?
Because it will change your perspective, and then you're always rich because you'll never lack anything. You will identify yourself with the complete or the whole or the supreme or Atma.
You'll be self-sufficient because you'll never have to depend on anybody. Because with that knowledge, you can always, you know, take care of yourself.
You will always be independent, confident, self-sufficient. Correct. Then?
Awareness.
Knowledge, wealth cannot be stolen. Your other wealth can be stolen. Right?
Yeah.
All your other wealth can be stolen. But the wealth of knowledge can never be stolen. And the effect of that knowledge, confidence, self-sufficiency, independence, security, these things cannot be stolen. Cannot be threatened. Nobody can take it away. The best form of wealth you should collect is knowledge. Uske baad jo bhi wealth collect karo. But bina knowledge you collect all other wealth and then you find that you haven't collected the right thing. Then you say, what should I do? What should I do? Then you're trying to collect the knowledge after wasting so much of time. Actually speaking from a different angle, it is not wasting. You needed so much of time to start the spiritual journey. It takes time. Each one different, you know. Everybody's vasanas are different. They're not the same. And the intensity and the strength are different. Strength of the vasanas are different. So, Dhaneshwara, one who is the Lord of all wealth, that is called Dhaneshwara. And when he says Dhaneshwara, like I said, independence, freedom, happiness, that is ultimately real wealth. So he is called as Dhaneshwara because he is independent. He is not attached to the world that has come out of him. So therefore, always he is rich with all the happiness, all the good things in his universe. And Dhana means Lakshmi. Dhana Ishwaraha means the Lord of Lakshmi. Where there is Lakshmi, there will be abundance. When you have abundance, you have the sense of abundance, there won't be any need to hoard. The tendency to hoard will not be there. It's because of our lack we want to possess people, we want to possess things. When we are abundant, we will not do. So the fact that you don't possess objects or beings, you will always be flocked around by objects and beings. This is a strange truth in life. Attach you lose, detach you gain. Yesterday, you know, somebody was talking to me. I mean, a common friend of mine and this other person. Me and my friend, we were talking. Something is happening in their family. So, they're thinking what best we can do to solve that. The main cause of the suffering there is father's attachment to the son. My friend's father is terribly attached to the son. As a result, now what has happened is they're living separately. Both are individually good fellows. But they're living separately. And Swami Ramatirtha says this. Attach you lose, detach you gain. The way to gain anything is to lose it. but we will be attached. We will not lose it. We will not drop our attachment. You will be the lord of dhanam, wealth, knowledge, everything, prosperity, cheer, happiness, when you are not attached. If you are attached, everything will be gone from you. If you are attached to children or grandchildren, you will be separated from them. The worst scenario is you will die or they will die or both of you will die. Says Ram Tirtha. Therefore, drop your attachments. So then up to 474. Let's conclude now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Paye Navacha Manasendriya Bha Atmana Va Prakriti Swabhava Karomi
Adya
Sakalam
Parasmai
Nada, 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 n